All right, welcome back again. Steve Elzinger here. This is the coaching class. And in this session, I want to talk about questions. A lot of coaching is questions. And it's questions because questions put the ball in the client's lap. Again, this whole coaching is not you directing, not you giving advice, not you teaching, not you correcting or training or mentoring. It's you trying to help the client figure out these things, help the client train himself, help the client mentor himself, help the client figure out where he needs help and to go get it. The whole goal is get the client to own the thing. And by the way, what's nice about that is the success or failure is the client's. It's up to the client. It's not your problem. What your client does or doesn't do is not your problem. And whether he succeeds or whether he fails is not you. You're helping your client do the best that he can or she can. And if there's failure, the client has to own all these things. That's why it's so good to get the client to figure out what they're going to do, what they want to do, and how they want to do it. And when it fails, they're going to learn the lesson about what they decided they were going to do. If you tell them what to do and it fails, they'll just blame you. And there's a lot of that that goes on in counseling and mentoring and so on. And then people don't change. They don't ever change because they're into the blame mode, and they blame the circumstances, they blame the people, they blame the very people that are trying to help them. So asking questions is a good way to put things into the client's lap. This is your responsibility. I'm just asking questions. You can go one way or another with the answer to these questions. So what I want to do is I want to look, well, before we get into that, according to the book, I found this book called Jesus is the Question. The Bible records Jesus asking 307 questions. Jesus asked a lot of questions. He asked, you know, who do men say that I am? He asked his disciples a question. He would ask the crowd a question. Jesus often put the problem into the laps of the hearers, the people around him. Ask, don't tell. So, you know, if you're not asking a lot of questions in a session, you're probably telling and giving too much advice. Okay, great coaching questions. Helping the client figure out what they want to do. Okay, so this is the first job of the coach. Remember, there's three things. And the first thing is to help a client figure out what they want to do, to make a decision about what area they want to improve in their life, what area they want to go to the next level, what area in their life is causing trouble or problems, and they need to do something about those troubles or problems. So these first questions, and what I want to do is just give you possible questions in this category. So when you're trying to get your client to figure out what area they want to do something about or should do something about, these are the possible questions. Of course, there's more than these, but I want to just give you a list, and you might just jot them all down or print it out. And as you start coaching, you might have this piece of paper there to sort of help guide you when you go blank and you can't figure out what to ask. So these are all really good questions to ask. Number one, you're asking the client again, what area in your life are you most interested in doing something different or new? Okay, that's a good question. What area of your life do you want to do something different or new? Maybe the client is stuck in a rut. This is a good place to start because whatever the client comes up with is something that he might be excited about. A lot of times we're not excited about, you know, working on the thing that we failed over and over on. We want to do something new. And if maybe if your client does that, he'll have some energy then, if he succeeds, to come to things that are harder. Where in your life are you experiencing the most frustration or anger or joy or excitement or boredom or fun or disappointment or encouragement and or hope? So you see that I have negative ones and positive ones. Where in your life are you experiencing joy? Maybe you need to keep going in that direction. Or where in your life are you disappointed? Or are you frustrated? Or are you angry? What, you know, some kind of emotion? What's going on in your life? So you're helping your client think about those areas of their life, whether it's positive or it's negative. Number three, what area in your life would you like to see some improvement? So this isn't a negative thing. It's not where you're experiencing problems, but you know, you're doing some things, but where would you like to see some improvement? Maybe you've plateaued in your marriage. Maybe you've plateaued in your job or with what you want to do or in your friendship circle or in your commitment to church or in what you're doing for church. So, you know, now think about some area that you'd want to do something about. Where do you want to improve? Number four, where are the pressure points in your life? Okay, expectations of others, things that are happening at work. You have way too many things on your to-do list and you can't get to them and you're letting important things fall off. You're spending too much time at work and not enough time with your family. Or you have this goal of doing something and you never get to it. Where are the pressure points in your life? That if somehow you could do something positive about these things, it would relieve the pressure and you'd have a better outlook on life. So that's a good question. Number five, where is life difficult right now? Now, when you ask a question like that, you have to be patient with your client to help him think about it. Where is life difficult? I don't know. A lot of times clients will say, I don't know. I don't know where life is difficult. So you have to be patient. You have to say, well, you know, are things difficult? Is there anything difficult at home? Is there anything difficult at work? Is there anything difficult in your... Oh, you know, there is something going on at work. See, a lot of times at first people can't figure out. Either they have a question. It takes a while for, you know, our minds to sift through all the many things that are going on in our lives to figure out, you know, what we want to talk about. But if you're patient, if you give your client time, eventually it will come. And sometimes you have to just let silence, you know, be silent. Don't think that you always have to save the situation. That when there's an awkward silence, don't think that you have to fill it. Let the client feel that awkwardness. Let him fill it. Give him time to think. What do you want more of in your life? What do you want less of? Okay? These are just different ways of thinking about life. You're helping the client analyze his life. What are your pressure points in life? Where is it difficult? What do you want more in your life? What do you want less of? Number seven, what is your biggest energy drain? Or your second biggest? You know, sometimes when you ask what is your biggest anything, people freak out. They go, I don't know what's the biggest. I don't know what the best. I don't, you know, and they can't think of anything. So it's like, okay, give me your second biggest. Or give me the top two. Or give me something that is draining your energy. Sometimes if you ask someone, where is life difficult, they have no idea. But if you ask, where is the energy being drained? Well, it's being drained at home. Or it's being drained because right now my marriage is not working out. Or it's being drained at work because it's, you know, we have some relationship issues going on there. Or my energy is being drained because I'm in no man's land. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about my career. I don't know whether to study more. I don't know whether to change careers. I don't know whether to be a tent maker in ministry. I don't know whether to go into full-time ministry. And because of that, you know, I have all these things hanging over my head. Sometimes when people have a bunch of things hanging over their head and they're not even doing anything to relieve that, they're really not doing anything about all these things that are hanging over their heads, but just the fact that these things are hanging over their heads drains the energy out of them, even though they're not doing anything about it. It's like when we have things on our minds, even though we're not doing anything about them, it still drains the energy. So, you know, are there things like that going on in your life that maybe we could think of things we could do? Number eight, can you name five minor annoyances that sap your energy and drag you down? So if they can't think of a big thing, how about some little things? And sometimes there's gold in the little things. Yeah, you know, I find I'm frustrated when my son does this. And then when you explore it and look at it, there might be a whole big thing there. So sometimes look at the small things. Sometimes it's too hard to figure out the big things. Number nine, if you wanted to change some situation to find you find yourself in, what could you do differently? So that's a good question. What could you do differently? So when a client is frustrated, maybe he has a goal and it didn't go very well, that's a good, well, what could you do differently? Instead of getting all discouraged about it, what could you do differently? You know, I'm meeting with a married couple and, you know, they're frustrated with each other and they keep doing the same old things. They have the same goals and they keep failing at them. Hey, well, what could you do differently? There's a lot of things that could be done. Number 10, what area of your life has God been speaking to you the most about in the last 6 weeks? So can you bring God into it? And maybe God has been speaking through prayer. Maybe God has been speaking through His Word. Again, the assumption is that your client is walking with God every day, that he's reading his Bible, that he's talking to God through prayer, that he's supported in a church environment where people, you know, believe in them and there's encouragement there. So that's a legitimate question. How is walking with God helping you? How is God leading you in this thing? Where do you think God would want you to spend your time thinking about something to do? Or in your prayer life, have you felt the Spirit nudging you one way or another? Again, we're assuming that the Holy Spirit is in this person. We're assuming that the Word of God is taking root in this person, and we're just trying to help bring that out. What would you need to change to take your personal life, your work, or ministry to a whole new level? So this isn't a problem. This isn't a pressure point. This is just an opportunity. You know, where in your life would you like to go to the next level? In a sport, or in your work, or in your ministry, or in your relationship to God, or your relationship to your children, relationship to your marriage. See, that's kind of exciting. Like, instead of being always on the defensive, always looking at problems, things that are weighing us down, it's like, okay, let's be on the offensive. Where do we want to go? Where do we want to get to that next level? Wouldn't it be fun to work on something that will take you to the next level? Number 12, what in your life are you most motivated to change? Okay, and maybe it's the pain in your life that's going on and you just want that pain stopped so you're motivated. Or, you know, like there's this opportunity in front of you and you know, if you could make some progress in this direction, it would give you a lot of energy. Where are you motivated to change? Maybe it's painful or maybe it's an opportunity. Number 13, what is the most important thing we could talk about today in order to move you toward your goal? Very simple. I'm not trying to direct you. I'm not trying to lead you. I just want to ask you, what do you think? What's the most important thing we could talk about today? So instead of me suggesting what we talk about, I'm putting it on the client. What would be important for you to talk about? So that word important just makes your client stop a minute and go, okay, yeah, what? See, he has to start prioritizing. He has to start learning. You know, there's a lot of things in my life, but what's the most important? Sometimes people just have to be asked that. Henry Reing and I used to ask people wherever we went, what's your spiritual dream? And people often, you know, are taken aback by that. But if you let them wrestle with it, most people succeed at saying something. And they end up saying what's important to them. So again, you're just helping them figure out what's important. Okay, so so all these questions that we dealt with so far have dealt with the decision to, you know, what is the area of my life that I want to, you know, have some goal, some action step towards. And then once I've decided, you know, I want to do something in my marriage, I want to do something in my work, I want to do something about my education, that's the area I want to do something about. What's the goal and what's the plan to reach the goal? Okay, so that's the second part. Help the client figure out how to do what they want to do, the plan. So here's some questions, just generic questions that you can use to help your client figure out the plan of action to reach their desired goal. Number one, what step do you want to start with this week in order to try and reach your goal? Very simple. Instead of coming up with a whole huge plan, hey, what step do you want to start with to reach your goal? Number two, what step would you be most excited about starting with in order to reach your goal? So, you know, if I can get the client to do something that he's excited about, he's more likely to actually do it. Number three, what could you do this week that would really get you going in terms of making some of the changes you want to your life, to your work, your marriage, or your family? Number four, what is the one thing that you could do this week that would help you become positive about the changes you want to see? Okay? Maybe your client is, you know, first of all, a lot of negative things have happened. That's why he wants a coach. But then he's been trying some of the things. You're coaching him to do things, and it hasn't gone the way he planned. How do you get him on a positive stretch here? What could you do where you know, they could put you on this positive road? Number five, if you were to break down your goal into its many steps that it would take to achieve it, what would they be? Okay, so you have a goal of having a better marriage, but how? Okay, what? What's the action step? What are you actually going to do, and how does that break down? Shall we figure out what the steps are? What would be step one? What would be step two? What would be step three? How are you going to make your desire a reality? Where are you going to start? A lot of times just getting started is the hardest part. Where would you like to start? What would you like to do this week? I don't mean this whole year. I don't mean over your whole lifetime. I'm just talking about this week. Okay, finally, help client to do what they plan to do. That's the management. They make a decision, they make a plan, and then you help manage them to successfully do the plan that they wanted to do. So here's some questions. Number one, you said you were going to do this step before our next meeting. How did it go? What did you like? What did you not like? What did you learn? What would you like to do next? See, they're all good questions that will help you help your client keep going down the trail of following through with the plan and adapting it as it goes. Number two, if the client failed to try the step they said they were going to do. So here's some questions if, you know, hey, how did it go? And they say, well, we didn't get to it. There was obstacles, there was problems, I was busy. Here's some questions you could ask. What obstacles were in the way of doing the step you intended to do? Is there anything you can do to remove those obstacles? Do you want to try again? Do you want to start with a different step in your plan? Do you want to make a new plan? Again, you know, the client had some trouble, didn't go the way they wanted. It's not a problem. We can try again. We can adapt it. We can change it. We can scrap the whole thing and start with something else. What do you want to do? General questions. Could you say more about that? These are good questions just to have in no matter what the discussion is. Could you say more about that? And this is, by the way, a question you can practice with everyone that you meet. Someone's telling you about something, just try it today. Could you tell me more about that? See how it goes. You will find, I think, that people are eager to tell you more about it. Because most times when we talk, people are not that interested. People want to talk, they don't want to listen. Let me tell you my story. No, let me tell you my story. No, let me tell you my story. See, who's listening? One of the greatest gifts you can give someone is to listen. So when you say, could you tell me more about that? What you're saying is, I'm listening and I want to keep listening. That's very encouraging to the other person. Number two, it sounds like this is really important to you. Why do you think that is? Your client is telling you something, an area in his life he wants to change, or you know, part of his plan, what happened this past week, and he seems to be motivated by it, or he's animated, he's excited, his voice is up, he's, you know, using his hands. So you observe that and make note of that. Hey, I see that this is really important to you. Can you tell me why that is? I want to understand you again. Okay? Number three. What could you do that would really motivate you to make the changes you want to make? This is a good question, because a lot of change, a lot of progress really comes down to motivation. And not your motivation, but your client's motivation. And not you doing things to motivate your client, but you stirring the fire within the person. Okay, you don't light the fire. You help the client, light his own fire. The fire is there and you're helping the client find it. What could you do that would really motivate you to make the changes that you want to make? Okay? Where are you most motivated? Let's start with that, because you're more likely to follow through. If questions. If you could change something about your life, what would it be? If you could change something about your marriage, what would it be? If you could change something about your career, what would it be? If you could change something about your walk with God, what would it be? All of a sudden, the person is, thinking, and it might be negative, might be positive, but either way, they're thinking forward rather than wallowing in the past. See, a lot of counseling is wallowing in the past. Let's think about what happened in your childhood. Let's try to understand. I'm not saying those things are bad things, but sometimes we need to go forward. If you could change something about your life, what would it be? Now, it might be hard, it might be difficult, it might be impossible, but at least you know what direction you want to go. If you were to pursue this goal, where would you do it? Who would you get help from? How would you proceed? So what, where, when, why, how? Questions are always helpful. Number three, if time and money were not an object. See, a lot of times a client will disqualify him or herself from any changes. I am who I am because that's who I am. Okay? And they look into they wish they could be this, they wish they could do that, wish they could have a better marriage, wish they could have a role in ministry, but they've decided, well, that's not possible. You know, every time I try, I get shot down. I try to volunteer at my church, and my pastor and my elders won't let me. Some of you have had that experience. I try to be a better parent, father, and it backfires on me. Okay, so then people stop. They give up. You know, I am who I am. No, if time and money were not an object, if there weren't these problems in your life, what would you like it to be? What kind of ministry, if your pastor wasn't there objecting, what if he said, great, let's do this? What would you want to do? So you get a client sort of, you can battle all your obstacles all the time and then get defeated, or sometimes you can just go around them. You know, I'm not going to worry about what my pastor thinks right now. I'm going to trust that God's going to work it out. How can I become more prepared for the ministry that I think God is calling me toward? Number four, if you knew you couldn't fail, so this is the same kind of a question. If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you attempt? What would you attempt in your ministry if you knew you couldn't fail? See, it's our fear of failure that often keeps us from doing things, keeps us from trying, keeps us from changing. So you can relieve that from your client. with an if question. If you knew you couldn't fail, then what would you do in your marriage? Then what would you do in your ministry? Then what would you do as you pursue your training here at Christian Leaders Institute? If you wanted a sure win, what could you do this week? Sometimes that's all a client needs, is just a win. You know, a sense of succeeding. They have all these huge goals and goals that take forever to achieve. And so there's the sense of failure or a sense of never making progress. So now, again, you could give it to them. Hey, this week, why don't we take your goal and make it something less so you can achieve it? No. Remember, you're not the one directing this. The client is. So you get him to figure out that. If you wanted a sure win in terms of this goal that you have, what would it be? What would it be this week? What could you do to give yourself a sure win? And then the client figures out how to take this hard goal and at least take a slice of it and make it possible that he can achieve it, which then can be like a snowball. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because you succeed here. You take the energy of that success, you apply it to the next thing, and you apply it to the next thing, and soon you can attack these larger issues. If you could see your future, what would it look like? Again, it's instead of looking at just the problems that you've experienced in your past, it's helping your client look to the future. If you could see that future, if you could had something to say about what that future looked like, what would it be? And all of a sudden you have a client thinking positively about the future. And you know what that is? That's hope. Hope. And that's what the gospel is all about. The gospel is about hope. That's what faith is. Faith is holding on to something that you can't see. It's trusting something. It's assuming something that isn't there yet. And that's really what you're doing as a coach. You're helping your client live by faith. It's really the heart of the gospel. So, don't forget that when you're with your client, most of what you're doing is asking questions. Now, I've given you a bunch of them. They're sort of general questions. But whenever you figure out a good question, write it down. Have a little book where you keep all the questions and go over them. Go over them so that they're in the back of your mind so that they're always ready to go. In fact, when you are finished with this session, find someone in your house, ask 5 questions, and just see what it does to that other person. See the encouragement that you give to someone in your own household or in your own community. Just step outside and ask 5 questions and see what it does. And we'll see you again next time.